How'd it go? Hell, praise God. Well, get your Bibles out this morning. Turn and look at somebody and said, boy, I like country music. You know, I heard something. I was listening to serious country music on XM radio the other day. And that song we just sang, Wings of Snow White Dove, in the 50s, was a number one hit on the country charts, I don't know, for like 18 weeks. And I thought, man, what a change, a song like that being a number one hit for that long, you know, to what we got today. Amen? All right, I'm going to change mics here. Y'all just bear with me. Get your Bibles out. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Praise God, are we on? Y'all forgive me for this, but I forgot about this thing. Okay, now we're going to be doing the baptismal today. Don't forget about that. After dinner on the grounds, we're going to go out and to Bill and Mel Kellner's house and use the swimming pool. I like a little more controlled environment. We've done some baptisms before in the river, and they're really pretty cool, but you never know what's going to happen. And around here, we had known how deep the water is going to be in forever, so praise God. So anyway, we're going to be doing that. Anybody that, you know, some people have come up to me and asked me about the baptism and all, and I don't, you know, you may just be convicted in your heart, or you're like me. I was baptized as a child and just a ritual church service and didn't really mean a lot to me. You know, later in life, I gave my heart to Jesus, and we were doing a baptism just like we're going to be doing today. And I was just kind of convicted in my heart. I said, you know, man, I want to be rebaptized. And so there's nothing wrong. Y'all know me. There's not a lot of rules, right? And so it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, this way or that way. Where's the conviction in your heart? If your heart's tugging on you that you want to be rebaptized or want to give your, you know, there's not any amount of water that's going to hurt. How about that? Right, you can't get baptized too much. I guess maybe in some circles you could, but around here you can't get baptized too much. But anyway, if it's something that's tugging on your heart, then do it. Be obedient to what your heart's telling you. Amen? So I'm trying to just finish this thing up because I'm last week, I'm getting so lost with had some guest speakers come in and I don't even know where I'm at anymore. I've got notes, but I can't remember what I preached and what I didn't. So I'm finishing this message. I may have told you I finished it last week, but I'm going to redo it, finish it again this week about having a personal revival with Jesus. Maybe I got through it last week. I don't know if y'all are taking notes and I've already got 3 points and y'all are sitting done. Well, just review with me. Because I saw some other things I wanted to say before I ended this message. And so anyway, just talking about having your own personal revival with Jesus. You know, we cannot wait in life. We cannot live our lives waiting for, the big burning bush experience or the fire of God falling from sky or some revival starting in a church or something like that happening to live every day in a life, a personal life that's alive and vibrant and is real to you with Jesus. And to me, folks, that is revival. When you have a relationship with Jesus and you read your Bible and you're going through a tough time, or you have some questions, or you need some answers, or something's going on, and you sit down and you open up your Bible and you read it, and you find the answer to what you were looking for right there in the Bible. It jumps off the pages at you. You're in the middle of revival in your life. Are y'all with me? If you're praying and said, God, I just don't know what to do, and I just need some direction in life, and then a friend calls you up and says, you know, I was just praying this morning, and I felt like I was just supposed to call you and just tell you, you know, this or that. Folks, that's God speaking to you. That's real. That's a living, vibrant relationship with Jesus. We don't need a Sunday relationship with Jesus. Just come to church on Sunday and we say, wasn't that pretty music? And you go home and the rest of the week's just the rest of the week. We need a living, vibrant, alive relationship every day with Jesus. Amen? And so
So I started just bringing about a few points, and I've been all over this thing. And Wednesday night I've preached on this. And so there's a lot of stuff. You can go on YouTube. You can look at the messages. You can get caught up if you've missed any. But the thing that I first want to start here is Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Paul said here, "What things were gained to me, these I have counted as a loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also counted all things as a loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." Now you got to understand, Paul, when he wrote this, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. This dude could quote the Bible forwards and backwards. He was the religious, raised under the best religious people of the day. He had the highest education. He was more than a doctor. He was this risen to this pinnacle of his life. And he said, "I count everything I learned. It's nothing. It's rubbish. It's nothing. It's garbage. Everything I learned, everything I did," because he said, "I found Jesus. And when Jesus came into my life, he changed me so much. I counted everything that I had as a loss that I might gain the knowledge of Jesus." Now think about this. The Pharisaical rabbinical system is that you were working to be as perfect as you could so that you could earn your righteousness and your ticket into heaven. In simple form, that's what it meant. You were trying to earn your way to salvation. It was in works. And everything that you messed up on, there was a sacrifice to be done or taken, or however you want to look at a sacrifice that was to be made to cover your mistake up. Right? So you live this life of trying to do everything that's perfect, saying, "Oh my gosh, I messed up on that," running down, having an animal sacrifice taken for you, cover up the blood, try to cover that up, and then go back the next day. So you were just always in turmoil in your life. Paul said, "Man, I count all that as rubbish. I don't even know it. As now I know what it's like to be righteous by the blood of Jesus, because he loves me, he forgave me, my sins are washed away, and as long as I'm under his righteousness and under his blood, I'm right with God, and I am happy to be there. So everything I learn, it's trash." Can you imagine what it took to do that? To have that? How many of y'all have just ever got in a habit of doing something and then found out there was a better way to do it and just had a hard time breaking that habit? Can you imagine changing your whole life, throwing everything away? Wow. Pretty impressive. But if you want to have a personal revival in your life, you have to do the same thing. You have to come to a place in your life that everything that you may have learned about religion, everything that you may have learned about this or that or the other, you may have to lay it down and put it aside and find out really what the truth is in the Word of God. And I hate to say it, but your mama might have been wrong. Nobody wants to hear that. Everybody wants to say, "Oh, mama was right." Mama might have been wrong. I told y'all when I was in school, I was taught that the blood in your veins was blue. And then when it came out into the air, it turned red. And I'd look in my arm and I'd see it did look blue. And I think, "Well, it's blue blood." And then, that ain't even true. That's not right. See, you may have been taught something, I hate to tell you, that you really thought was truth, but wasn't truth. So you've got to be willing to put everything down at Jesus' feet and say, "Lord, I want to know you, Jesus. I want to walk in and to know you. I want to make you first in my life. I believe you have the best way." Amen? So, Romans chapter 6, verse 13 says, "Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." He said, look, what you got to do is you got to come to Jesus, and you got to just stand up there and say, "Look, Lord, here I am. If you can use me, use me. But I just know one thing. I'm making you first. I believe in you. I don't know everything about Jesus, but I believe in him." Right? The second thing that you've got to do is down in verse 9. It says, "And to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, that the righteousness which is of God is by..." Let me start over and read it again. and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. He said, I want to be found in Christ. Now, in that day when you're a Pharisee and all of your friends are Pharisees and everybody has been practicing works and doing works, for Paul to stand up and say, look, I'm not going to do that anymore because I'm going to be found over here. I'm going to line myself up with those that believe in Jesus. And in order to do that, that meant everybody over there got mad at him. Everybody in that other camp said, Paul, you're crazy. You can't do that. You mean to tell me God's going to accept you just because of what Jesus did? And he's like, yeah, that's what the Bible's all about. And they're all like, no, you have to work at it. You can't just do that. See, folks, the second thing you got to do if you want to have a personal relationship with Jesus is you can't be ashamed of him. You got to be wanting to be associated with him. I'll be honest with you. I've said this. Y'all know it's the truth. I very rarely tell anybody that I'm a pastor. I tell them I'm a contractor. I raise sheep. I tell them all kinds of things. But I never tell them that I'm a pastor because most people get turned off. You tell them a pastor because everybody's had a bad experience in church. And I tell you, sometimes I've prayed like this, Lord, these Christians are the worst thing that we've got. They're hurting the gospel more than anything. I'm not worried about the other religions. I'm worried about our own. I mean, there's been so many people hurt in church and church has done stupid things. Listen to me. I'm not talking about being associated with church. I'm talking about being associated with Jesus. I'm talking about being firm in your faith and your foundation where you can say, look, I don't know, but that's one thing I do know. I was lost and now I'm found. I know that the Bible's true and I believe it. And if that makes me a Christian, then I'm a Christian. But when we've associated with church, there's a stigma to that. Hello? Come on. Y'all are looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all are sitting there. Come on, if you say right now, oh, well, what church do you go to? You say, well, I'm Pentecostal. Everybody's like, oh, okay. Doesn't make any difference if you're a conservative Pentecostal or a snake handler. You say the word, you throw it in the lot, right? You say, oh, well, I'm Baptist. Put you in a class. Oh, I'm Methodist. Put you in a class. Well, I'm Catholic. Put you in a class. Are y'all with me? I don't want to be in that classification. I want to be in the classification of a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's what I want you to be too. I don't want you to say, well, I go to Living Waters. I mean, you say that, everybody says, oh, well, yeah, you know. But it shouldn't be that. You should be a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to be associated with the man Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me? I am ashamed to be associated sometimes with pastors and other churches and other denominations. I don't want to be known to be with them because I figure they're going to get in trouble, and I don't want to be in that camp. Are y'all with me? I want to be associated with Jesus, and that's the way we should be in our relationship. We should be bold that we are associated with Jesus Christ, that we're believers in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Hello? I believe that the Bible's true. From the front all the way back to the book of Maps. I ain't going to cut any of it out. I'm not going to argue with anybody about a translation of a Bible. I'm not going to argue with anybody about that. I mean, you know, keep it in the right field. I mean, I guess there's some translations out there that may be really off, but I'm just saying, the point is I believe in the Word of God, right? I believe the Bible's true. And I believe that no man can turn it around, change it, construe it to fit his doctrine. It's got to either all be true or it's not any of it's true. Hello? So what I've always argued. I always argued that Jesus, the Bible says, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if that scripture is not true, he's not the same today. He still doesn't heal people. He still doesn't love people. He still doesn't forgive people. He still doesn't minister to people. If that scripture is not true, well, then you cannot take the scripture in Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Son of God, you'll be saved. You can't take one out and keep the other. You can't go through the Bible with a highlighter and an X-Acto knife. Right? It's either all true or it's none of it's true. Hello? That's who I want to be associated with. That I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I want to be associated with Him. Okay? Now, skipping on down to the third point. Because this is what I really want to major on today. The third thing you've got to do if you really want to have a vibrant relationship with Jesus is what Philippians 3:10 says. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings and being conformed to His death. Now listen to me. Being a believer in Jesus is not going to make everything in life easier. It's just going to be able to put a smile on your face as you walk through everything that you walk through in life. You hear what I'm saying? Because if you notice, He says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Folks, listen to me. If I can get anything across to you today, anybody that's out there listening by audio or watching by video today, listen to me. If I can get this point across to you, have a desire to know Jesus. Not to know church, not to know religion, but to know the man Jesus Christ that walked on the face of this earth, that gave His life for you. Have a desire to know Him. Read your Bible in such a way that you read looking to see, why would He do that? Or why would He say that? Or what makes Him think like that? Have a desire to go through the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and look to find out, who was this Jesus that walked on the face of the earth? Don't take everybody else's opinion. Find out for yourself. You get to know Him. Because I want to tell you something. If you know Him, then you'll never be deceived in life. Because if you really know Him and somebody comes up and says something, it will hit your heart and you'll say, that's not my Jesus. If you really know a person, you really truly know that person, and then somebody came and said, man, I tell you, that's the sorriest, no good for nothing I've ever heard, ever seen. And he said, what are you talking about? Oh, so-and-so. He said, hey, so-and-so I know. What are you talking about? Do you know that even to this day, there's still rumors and misconceptions and lies about our church and everything else that went on around the church and how our formation started and all this kind of stuff. And people still always believe the lie. They never know the truth because nobody ever came to find out the truth because a lot of people just want to believe a lie. And you know what? I got tired a long time ago trying to explain everybody the truth. And I just said, well, just believe whatever you want to believe. I don't care. Don't want to mess with you. Don't want to have anything to do with you. Just go on. You know, I mean, it's kind of hard, but I'm just sick of it. Because sometimes people just really want to believe the lie. Are y'all with me? Have you ever believed something about somebody and then found it later not to be true? Have you ever said something and then somebody heard what you said and turned it around and twisted it a little bit and it was kind of what you said, but it really wasn't meaning what you said and then that was what was said? And everybody said, oh, you said that? You said, I didn't say that. Y'all ever had that happen? Well, that happens to Jesus all the time. Think about this. That happens to Jesus all the time. People twist what He says to mean what they want it to say and then declare it's God. I was almost in trouble. I was in the restaurant here a while back and person was reading the paper there, and they were talking to themselves, and said, I guess God's just mad at us. It ain't ever going to rain. And I started to just turn around and say, yeah, He is. And then just leave it at that and just walk out of the restaurant. Don't say nothing else. Just see what He'd do, you know. But I held my tongue and didn't say anything because I would have been saying it in a wrong manner. Are y'all with me? Because people don't want to know the truth sometimes. They just want to believe that. Headlines in the paper the other day said, you know, drought in the Midwest, corn's out there, declared an act of God. Well, you know, what do you mean an act of God? The Bible says if we just humble ourselves and pray, He'd send rain. Nobody wants to humble themselves and pray. Right? We got a nation that's that's not living for God wants to take God out of everything, and then they're mad at him when it doesn't happen right. Well, wait a minute. How does that work? How do you want to get God out of everything, but then, you know, blame him for all the bad stuff? I'm just telling you, if you know Jesus and you spent time with him, you know what he, you know, I don't smell like Jesus. I mean, I've done that a lot of times. People tell me this and come up and say, man, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me that, and they tell me all of a sudden, I'm like, that ain't my Jesus I know. I don't know, you know, you may have a, you know, fake Jesus or something, but man, that ain't my Jesus. But read the Bible. Don't even line up with the Word. Are y'all with me? The Bible says that everything that we do be confirmed with two or three witnesses, but in other words, two or three places in the Bible, that they have a, let's find out what the flow of the Word of God is. Hello? You really want to know Jesus when in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 17, is a story. It says, when Jesus came into the regions of Caesarea Philippi, that he asked his disciple, who do men say that I am? And he said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, or others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. You realize that even in the day Jesus is walking and nobody knew who he was. He got this person saying he's this, and this person saying he's that, and that person saying he's this, and this one saying he's that. And he looked at Simon Peter and says, well, Simon, he said, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you're Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. There is a place when you really want to know Jesus and your heart is really right, that the Spirit of God will come to you and you can see things in the Scriptures, you can be revealed to you. You will know that you know that you know that you know who Jesus really is. Are y'all with me? You'll know what's right and what's wrong and what's good and what's not. You'll know if it smells like Jesus or not. Somebody comes up and presents something to you and you're like, I don't know, that just doesn't sound quite right. You'll detect it. When it gets to be religious, like I've talked about, religion being something that you're trying to do by observation, not something from the heart. When it gets to be something religious around you, you'll sort of say, wait a minute, what is that? You know, it's packaged right, but its contents don't taste right. Y'all with me? In John 6, verse 67, it says, then Jesus said to his 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, who are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Listen to me. When you get this relationship going with Jesus and you really know him, listen, you're going to find out that there's no other place you want to go for answers except him. No place you want to go for answers except him. When you are up in a decision, you say, well, we just got to pray about it. Because when you start to know him and you start to know how he is and how he feels and how he really cares about you and what love really is and what the truth really is. You see, people want to take the Old Testament and mix it with the New Testament to dilute love and grace and peace so that it comes up more vengeful and wrathful, because inside of their hearts they can't believe that God would just let a person in by believing in Jesus. So they want to mix a wrathful God in there so that, you know, you're going to make them kind of work for it. Because if I just turned you loose and, oh man, you know, what would happen? Are y'all with me? We want to bring God down to our level so that we can understand him. But we can't. And thank goodness. This is a headline of a story you may have seen recently, where a three-girl punk rock band charged into the Russian Orthodox Church in Russia, ran into the place, jumped up on the altar, and had a punk rock song they sang denouncing Putin and the things that he's doing. Well, first of all, I don't really believe they heard God because they took on the Russian Orthodox Church and Putin all at the same time. That's asking for a lot. I've been in a Russian Orthodox Church before in Russia. And I want to tell you something, that's the creepiest place I've ever been in my life. I did not feel comfortable. I did not feel welcome. I wouldn't do anything. I wasn't singing no song or doing anything else. I was just felt like I was going to smother in there. It's the most, it is bad. It is bad. And so when I saw the article, I started laughing, thinking, I wish I'd have been there for the video. I'd have loved to have seen, those priests. If you've ever seen a Russian Orthodox priest, they have the long beards. They dress in black. They have the black hat over there. Looked like something out of, the Dark Side of Merlin the Magician, kind of thing. And I could just like to have seen what their look on their face was when these crazy kids did that. But they ended up getting 7 years in prison for it. And then they reduced the sentence, I think, to 2 years or something, but for doing this. And the church was all upset. Said it's blasphemous what they did. Well, I'm pretty sure, and if you're watching out there, you want to send me a letter, go ahead. I'm sure that if Jesus walked in there, they'd have said the same thing. Because to me, that I've seen it and been around it, it's to me is exactly like it would have been Pharisaical in the days of Jesus when he's preaching love and grace and mercy and they're preaching works and doom and gloom. And I actually had to take my hat off to these three girls because they did shock the establishment, that was for sure. The only thing about it is that, folks, listen to me. When you know the real Jesus, okay, it gets like that. You can't be around the fake. Right? Because I'd go into those Russian Orthodox churches and there would be people there doing some form of religion. And I was like, I'm sorry, but you don't know my God. You don't know Jesus. You really don't know him, because if you knew him, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. And you wouldn't feel comfortable in here. But they don't know him. They know religion. They know form. They know ritual. But they don't know him. Hello? Now, you're starting this whole introduction to Jesus. Your whole start, the whole beginning of it comes when you really believe that he's the Son of God, right? When you made your profession of faith and your profession of belief in Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, when you called out upon him, boom, the introduction started, right? But a lot of times people right there at that place, all they're looking for is the key to get in through the pearly gates to get into heaven so that you won't go to hell, right? And their relationship stops and ends right there. But let me show you something here. I want you to go look in Matthew chapter 19 here just for a second. There's a story here that I want to look at here about Jesus and your relationship with him. Chapter 19, starting verse 16. It says, "Now behold, one came and said to him, Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" You see, that's works. What good thing can I do so I can have eternal life? In other words, what can I, by my flesh, do that I can have eternal life? And he said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Which ones?" So he's wanting to be specified. He's really wanting a list of the things to do, right? He's wanting a list. He said, "Well, honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." No, wait a minute. That's not love your neighbor as yourself and honor your father and mother. Look what he picked out. He didn't say don't kill, steal, commit adultery. He picked out two that had to do with your heart. The young man said, "All these I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" In other words, even though he had kept them all from his youth, even though he knew he'd kept all the commandments, something inside of his heart told him he still wasn't right with God. All I'm telling you is when you try to live a life by works and not relationship, you never feel right with God. Because there's always something in your head will tell you, you didn't do everything you could have done. You could have gone a little farther. Hello? Have y'all ever watched that crazy show called Wipeout where these ridiculous people think they can go down this obstacle course with these things flying and balls and had to jump on y'all? You know, seeing this is the craziest thing. I'm surprised people don't get their backs and necks broken and, you know, the place is sued and it's not even on television yet because it's just ridiculous. But as I see that, I can't ever watch it for very long, but I flip on there and I look at it and I think, you know, that's like what people feel like in life. You get a little bit ahead and then there's some thing out of the dark comes and whacks you in the face or hits you in the gut or throws you backwards or your feet get cut out from under you or just about the time you think you got it made, this ball comes flying in from way out there and hits you in the head and knocks you off the balance beam. Are y'all with me? And then if you notice, you'd never want to be first. Because the person that goes in the course first doesn't know what's going to happen. And the ones that are watching kind of get an idea of, oh, wait a minute, he did that and that helped. And that was a... That's what happens with us Christians. We back up and say, ooh, don't do that. Man, did you hear see what happened to old Sam over there? Lord have mercy. Okay, we need to readjust a little bit here, right? And all I'm saying is that just like this rich young ruler, you're trying to do it by works. You're never going to feel justified by God because works can't justify you because there's always something that comes out of the dark that, boom, hits you and knocks you off course, something you're not expecting. So this guy said, I've done everything, but what else do I need to do? And Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. Now, hit him right in the pocketbook. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to the disciples, assuredly I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now when the disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, well then who can be saved? And Jesus looked at him and said, with men it's impossible, with God all things are possible. So it looks like on the surface of this story, that Jesus just really smacked down this rich guy, right? This rich kid, because he was young. Y'all with me? One day I was praying about it, and I said, you know, Lord, that is, I know you, and that just doesn't sound like you. I mean, you really were hard on this guy. You were always hard on the religious crowd. You didn't take anything off of them, but this guy just comes wandering up, and it looked like you wanted him to just give up everything in life, and he had great possessions, and Why didn't you say it differently? Why is this? So I began to research this, and I'm the kind of guy that I see something like this, and I don't get an answer instantly, so I put it on the back burner, and I just let it simmer back there, you know, and I'm thinking about it, but I'm going on reading and going on with life and whatever, and then I'll think about it and ask the Lord about that. So time went by, and one day the Lord just said, why don't you just read the rest of the chapter? So let's read the rest of the chapter. Start in verse 27. It says, then Peter said, I'm in Matthew 19:27. Then Peter answered and said to him, see, we've left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? So Jesus said, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you have followed me, will sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, mothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, wives, children, or lands for my sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many of who will be first shall be last, and the last shall be first. If you read this whole story over in Mark chapter 29 or chapter 10, verse 29, he says also 100-fold in this life. In other words, what Jesus offered the rich man was apostleship. He said, I wasn't asking him to give up anything that he wasn't going to get something. I asked him, give it all up and come and follow me. He gave him an opportunity to be one of the apostles. For eternity. To receive in the next life, apostleship that would carry on forever. He offered him more because in Mark 10, it says he actually offered him 100-fold return and all this. So in other words, he was going to take his wealth. He said, come and invest your wealth. Give it all to the poor. Invest it in the kingdom of God. Sell out. Totally come and follow me, and I'm going to make you an apostle, and I'm going to give you back a hundredfold or whatever you've sold. You're going to make, you're going to reap a hundred times more money than you're going to sow. You're going to reap, and I want to give you an apostleship for eternity. But the guy couldn't do it because he couldn't turn loose of the what he had in his hand. And I said, wow, now that sounds like you, Jesus. You were more generous. You weren't asking anything but for him to turn his life over to you. And you were going to be more blessed. You were going to bless him and be more generous to him than he could have ever imagined, but he couldn't take it because he couldn't turn loose of what he had. I said, now that sounds like you, Lord. Now I'm satisfied. My pot finally simmered, got cooked, and now I understand what you're talking about because that sounds like you, Jesus. Amen? See, Jesus ain't going to take something from you that he's not going to give back to you a hundredfold more plus everything that there is for eternity. Are y'all with me? Now, in this relationship, you're starting with Jesus. You're, like I said, we're not giving him anything. We're giving him our lives, right? But I don't know if you know, always, I always have a little bit of a worried place in my life. You know, like when you see the presidential elections going on and they vet the candidates and whatever, and they find, you know, everybody's looking for dirt to find on them, right? I would never run for public office. I'm still nervous, even if I get around where I was raised and somebody calls my name out and I don't recognize the voice and they're behind me, you know. I say, Robert Richards, man, I hear that, I am scared. When somebody looks at me and says, don't I know you? I'm like, oh, Lord. So I don't want to go through all that vetting process. And I just want you to know, I don't know how you feel about this relationship, but let me tell you something. Jesus wants a relationship with you, and he's not worried about your past. Matter of fact, if you look right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, and I want to finish up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. It says, for you see your calling, brother, that not many wise according to the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble are called. The very first time I read those verses, I got excited because I realized I did not fit in any of those. Let me read again. See, your calling, brother, there are not many wise. I said, I got that one, Lord. According to the flesh, not many mighty. No, I got that one too. Not many noble. Yep, that's me. Are called. So I fit in the category who he wants to have a relationship with. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. I finally found one I fit in. Here I am. Foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty, the base things of the world, the things which are despised, God has chosen, the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Folks, listen to me. When you make that profession of your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you believe that he's the Son of God and you want him to come into your life, the relationship is open. God loves you. He wants to have that relationship with you. There's nothing in your past holding you back. He doesn't say, oh, well, man, here comes so-and-so, you know, oh, my God. He wants the relationship because you fit in the category of the ones that have been the foolish things of this world. He says, look, I don't want anybody to say, look how good you are. I want them to say, look how good you are since you had this relationship with me. You're actually, all you're giving in the relationship is a body and your personality and a brain to think. Other than that, he doesn't need anything. He needs you to be alive and breathing. You know what I mean? That's about it. That's the only qualifications to have a relationship with Jesus on earth. That you're alive and breathing. Y'all with me? He didn't reject you. He loves you. He wants to have this relationship. He's excited for you to come. He's excited to see you come and talk to him. He's excited to have He's excited to see you read the Bible. He's excited to know that you're trusting in him for your health and your wealth and your blessings in life. He's excited to know that you're trusting in him for wisdom. He's proud of you. He said, well, Robert, I hadn't done, get out of works. What are you doing over in works? I hadn't really done anything to earn God. So what are you talking about? You can't earn it anyway. You either believe that he's the Son of God and you're in, or you're trying to do it by works and you're out. My righteousness today either stands by the blood of Jesus, because if it has to stand by my works, it'll fail because you'll get caught somewhere. But of him, it's what the last part says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. Who became for us wisdom from God, the righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He's everything. Hello? So church, listen to me. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let anything in this world lie to you. Don't let religion lie to you. Do you know the reason why we have the Dark Ages is because people tell you just, you can't read the Bible. You don't understand the Bible. You'll never be able to understand the Bible. And you're just ignorant people. I need to explain to you what the Bible says. Don't go back into the Dark Ages of your life. Go and find out who Jesus is. Go investigate and find out the real Jesus. Find out everything that what he believes in, what he would do and how he would act and how he would react to situations and circumstances. And you know what? You may find some areas in your life that you've been taught wrong. So change. So change. And I want to tell you something. Revival will start in your life. You're going to know him. Your days are going to change. Things are going to be great. Because you're going to know him. Amen? Amen. Well, put your Bibles up. And I tell you what you do. Let's just take a moment here. Let's just pray. Let me just pray for you. I don't know, I may have said some things to you this morning that you haven't heard. You hadn't heard them like this. You may be listening by radio or watching by video. And you're saying, man, I want a relationship with Jesus. I want to know him. Well, the first step is to ask him to come into your life. To invite him in. There's no perfect prayer. There's no certain prayer you got to say. There's no way you got to do it. You just have to ask Jesus to come into your life. So if you're listening or watching, or if you're in here in this audience today and you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, I want to pray with you right now. And I want you just to pray with me from your heart. Say, Jesus, today I ask you to come into my life. I want a relationship with you. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you gave your life for me. And I want to know you. So today, Lord, my life's yours. Just lead me and guide me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to tell you something. If you prayed that prayer today for the very first time, man, the world's open to you. Jesus has come into your heart. He's come into your life. Everything's yours. You just got to pursue it now. He's not going to forsake you, so you don't forsake him. He's not ashamed of you. You don't be ashamed of him. But just invite him into your life. Keep inviting him in your life. Amen? Now, church, that's the other thing I want to remind you about. Is, you know, today's a good day. We're going to have the baptism here after lunch. And today's a good day that if you've got anything that you feel that is not right between you and God, today's a good day to get it all right. Today's a good day to be living in joy and peace. Today's a good day to be living and knowing that you are righteous by the blood of Jesus, not by your works. Amen. And like I said earlier today, if you, maybe we're already baptized at one time, but today you want to just rededicate your life or just make a public profession or just feel like you got some things to settle and shut the devil up and shut your mind up or whatever, well, then today's your day. Amen. And so, even if you don't come to eat with us on Dinner on the Grounds or whatever, we'll be over at the Kellner's house probably 1:30, 2 o'clock, I imagine. We're off a little early. I'm actually, y'all note this down today, that it's 11:57 today, so give me a few minutes some other day. But we'll probably be over at their house, you know, between 1:30, 2 o'clock, right over here on 187, right past the Big Y, headed north towards Vanderpool, on the left. First house you come to, look for some equipment. Right? Look for some equipment on your left, and that'll be it. And if you get there, just wait for us or whatever. We'll get through eating here and going down there. Just have a good time, okay? And one more thing I wanted to say is, and because I got started and got in a hurry to get started, but Jeff just got back from Guatemala. And he just came in this week. And Jeff, just come up here for just a minute. And because I asked Jeff to go down there because they were trying to get a, you're good. They were trying to get a building, a new roof on a building. And we needed somebody to weld up the trusses and get all that done. And so Jeff, we asked him to go down there for us and just tell everybody a little bit about what you saw and what's going on and give us a good report.
Today, a little different. I won't just babble. I'll make it quick. I'm sure Andrew and Bethany done gave you a good update on how it looks, pictures, all that. So we'll skip that. Other than day we got in, 11-year-old boy, new kid, just the same day
Praise
we
God.
Got in. And he's in the Genesis house now.
Awesome.
Acclimated and everything. The best thing about it was his head was, he was real down like this, and all the other little boys just got on him, and he was like smiling, but looking around like, did somebody see me smile? You know? And he'd look up and smile like if somebody saw me, you know? And so right away, it was,
felt
you know,
the,
all
felt
the little
love.
Kids ran up. But we, the group, we went to weld the trusses, and or that's what I was told, to weld the trusses. And when I got there, it was weld the trusses and put the roof on. And so we were with the group was pretty big. There was like 80 people that went. Awesome work. Many houses got painted inside, outside. It rained like Wednesday after lunch and then every day after that, except for Friday. It was down to the crunch. We really needed to get stuff done, and just so happened to rain both sides of us, all around us. The water was even running down the mountain when it wasn't raining because it was raining up the mountain.
Up above, yeah.
And it just kept going around us. I worked till dark that afternoon, and just about the time that I'd walked down to the bottom and they had my dinner ready and stuff, it started raining. But I had finished everything, and we got half the roof on.
Praise God.
And so we didn't quite get it all done, but it rained, or we had some setbacks. But the first time this is happening, and there was a bunch of miracles. I've seen all kinds of stuff. It was one of the, I've been 8 times, 9 times, and this is a time of, I've never seen so many miracles. One is you got me looking in my Bible to tell you something.
I know. That's a pretty good
and
one.
So it's Job 8:7. It started on something else, or I was somewhere else. I was kind of taking a message that I saw Andrew preach in Guatemala and trying to bring it here. But as I was looking, which is a miracle in itself, or what I mean is actually looking for something in the Bible, I found something else. And so 8:7. It is, though your beginning was small, yet latter end would increase abundantly.
There you go.
And what I mean by that is we're 5 years ago in 07, I knew a man that gave me a plane ticket to go to Guatemala and told me, you might want to go to this church and meet this man you're going to ride with. That was a small beginning. And I came to this church just to meet this man. And now I can't quit going to Guatemala, and I can't quit coming to this church.
There you go.
And so the latter, and that's the whole point of my thing. Awesome.
Well, just step here with me. Well, praise God. I know there's great things going on in Guatemala, and I just thank Jeff for going and taking care of us and getting that done, because that's one more roof. That means more kids, getting another house through with. And so y'all stand up to your feet, and we're going to dismiss this service, but we're just going to pray over everything going on in Guatemala and everything that was done. And Lord, we just thank you for today. God, I just thank you for that we can have a personal relationship. And Jeff right there just gave me the perfect example of what we're talking about, Lord, about having to know, coming to know you and to know a relationship with you. And Lord, because you look in your Bible and you see something and it speaks to your heart, that's knowing you, Jesus. And that's the way we want to live, Lord. We want to live like that continually all our lives. And so, Father, we just thank you today for opening up our minds, opening up our understanding, Lord, letting nothing get in the way to knowing you, Jesus. And Lord, we praise you for it. We thank you for it. And I ask you today, Lord, just to keep your hand upon the orphanage, Lord God, and all the kids down there at Casa Angelina. Lord, just touch them and just continue to let it bless. And I thank you for the good work that's going on, and that we could continue to work and continue to help and continue to bless. I thank you, Lord, for Jeff and him going and taking care of us and seeing the work gets done and that the finances are taken care of and everything's done right. And Lord, we praise you for it. So, Lord, bless all this food now we've got over here. Just put your hands on it. Bless our time of fellowship. And, Lord, we just give you praise for it and thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you, church.